Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show here on Talk808.com. I appreciate you tuning in and thanks for listening in the past weeks. We're still pulling things together here. And you can call in at 782-6627, 782-6627 to the Carol Cox Show. And our email is carol@carolcox.com. So during the show, if you have any information you want to share or any comments, you can either call in or text. It's the same number, 782-6627, of course, 808 area code. And what I was going to be talking about this morning is a couple of good things that I've had a number of friends that are that I've talked to over the last couple of years about. The discussion of homelessness and the efficiency and inefficiency of government, and why are we seeing a large population, an increase in homelessness each year? We see more and more and more. And I thought, well, let me just look at some of the issues that really are not talked about, or some of the aspects of this thing called homeless managing, or this quote, crises. And I will tell you, based on what we're seeing and some of the documents, and as part of our effort to find out what was going on and to draw some kind of conclusion or get some idea, why is it that it just seems that we have government entities, government agencies, housing czars, and we have programs, and we have the Catholic Charities, we have IHS, we have all of those folks are aggressively pursuing homes for many a people. But there's something missing. And it's not that money is not being given for programs. There are many programs here in the state. And we're going to talk about those as well, some of those. Now, I'm not an auditor. And I don't profess to be one or have any knowledge of not. But I can read to some degree and understand some bits of it. Especially as we've learned to see that many of the problems that we see are man-made. They find themselves occurring in these problems within the agencies that are tasked through legislative authority that are tasked with managing many of the, whether it's program against to combat heart disease, child hunger, those programs are actually funded and federally supported as well. And so we took a look at the state auditor's reports on many of these things and hoping to try and find some explanation or more information that would point us to understanding and allowing us to draw a conclusion on why is it that we can't tackle and capture this thing called homeless crises. And what I'm able to deduce or draw from the documents we've seen and the activities, it's never meant to work. And I know that's a very bold statement to make that statement. But I believe, based on some of the documentation that we've read, it was never meant to work. The intentions were not. And our state and local administrative, even in the city, at one time we raised an issue where there was a HUD issues. And it seems that the practice here, and I don't know how it works in other states, or if it's the democratic influence of being a one-party influence, and so you don't, as a state worker or someone, you don't make noise about the dysfunctional behavior that occurs in these state agencies. And most of them are funded, and the legislators go out and ask for monies, and they agree, and they get federal fundings. And so what we found in this these projects, a little scary. So I'm going to try and wade through this. Let me find my place here. Just to give you an example, this is an audit from the summary of schedules of a prior audit findings year ended June 30th, 2017, conducted by an independent auditor and in turn on behalf of the Public of Indian Housing, CFDA, findings, eligibility. See, 24 CFR 5601 CFR section 96 require authority to gather information on income, family size, and housing conditions for both new and continued participants on an annual basis. Based on the information gathered, the authority's housing specialists assess whether or not applicants are eligible to participate in the program based on federal eligibility guidelines. To ensure such guidelines are complied with, the authority initially performs a review of 10% of all annual re-exams and new placements. The monthly reviews are performed by project managers and are submitted to the Property Management Maintenance Service Branch at PMMSB, or PMMSB conducts an error analysis, tracking and number and type of errors for each review. From the result of the analysis, program management performs a second follow-up and quality review. 25 participant files supporting documents used to determination of eligibility contain errors. This is a finding of this. We're talking about state managed housing project. The context, for 25 participant files supporting documents used to determination of eligibility contain errors. During our audit, we selected a non-statistical sample of 60 eligibility determinations out of a population of 4,400 determinations for testing and noted exceptions in 25 participant files as follows. One, for one out of 60 participants' files tested, we noted that the family annual update report form and form from form 558 was not completed. Two, for two out of 60 participant files tested, we noted that the total anticipated income from assets was incorrectly reported on the form and the incorrect rent being charged, resulting in the incorrect rent being charged. Two, for two out of 60 participant files tested, we noted that a family annual update report form used to facilitate the annual exemption reexamination was not maintained in the tenant file. So how then can you determine eligibility or adequate or sufficient or fair charges or based on what? You can't if the documents are not there. Number four, for 11 out of 60 participants' files tested, we noted that the annual reexamination was not completed in a timely manner. Five, for two out of 60 participant files tested, we noted no verification of social security numbers, citizenship declaration form, or birth certificates were submitted. Six, five out of 60 participant files tested, we noted that household members' names or date of birth reported on Form 500 did not agree to the supporting documents. Seven, for four out of 60 participants' files tested, we noted that the rent per form 558 did not agree to the amount charged per respective rent runs. Eight, for one out of 60 participants' files tested, we noted that income for a household number or member was incorrectly included in the total tenant payment calculation. and 9. For 4 out of 60 participant files tested, we noted that the family annual update report form used to facilitate the annual reexamination was not signed by the housing specialist and or tenant. So they reflect the causes, although the authority has policies and procedures to place in place to ensure proper eligibility. Documents are maintained there was a lack of diligence in complying with the policies and procedures. Noncompliance, failure to adequately determine eligibility can lead to further noncompliance with program requirements and potential disallowed costs. We recommend that the authority enforce proper implementation of its eligibility policy and procedures. Then they say the status of that, the comment is no longer applicable. So let's think about that. If you'd like to call in and have a comment on this, 782-6627 is the number, 808 area code. But if you're relying, what's the purpose of submitting these required documents? I guess one could conclude that there's a standard or requirement to gauge the success and make sure that people that are in the need are the ones who really receive the subsidies or support, financial support. But if names, for example, does not match up with the tenants list or what have you that residing in one unit and the file does not, how then can, in the cost that is being collected, how then can we guarantee that someone in the State Department of Housing or working for the government is not showing favor to someone and allowing their relatives, allowing whomever to live in these facilities without paying if when they can afford to pay? And I've actually heard of such things where people actually can afford and they move their monies around and they just live on the land, so to speak, at the government's, because you're not really disclosing anything. You're not giving income. You're not giving. So if that's the case, shame on the state for doing that and allowing that. But that's a part of the federal awards finding and questions cost that was submitted. Now, what they do, they have a checklist, and they basically go through and say that this is what we found. This is this particular audit was done by KMH LLP here in Honolulu, and the date of it was March 21, 2018, the final letter that they wrote. As part of the obtaining a reasonable assurance about whether the authority's financial statements are free from material misstatements, we perform tests of the compliance of its compliance with certain provisions of laws, regulations, contracts, and grant agreements. So this wasn't just something given out. It was when they were the KMH Limited Liability, the Independent Auditor's Report on Internal Control. That is what I was reading from over financial reporting. But we looked at many others, and so we'll look at state and local, for example. Just give you an idea of what kind of monies we were dealing with. CFDA, they report, Housing Choice Voucher Program, $2,139,430. Then for the CFDA, Section 8, $23,017,047. for state and local side of that was $103 million. So we're looking at monies that you, when you're dealing with that much money, and you're, it all resolves and relies on the proper distribution of it and the proper use of it and the tracking of it be made in the form of a simple report. They don't give the report. They don't have the necessary documents as required or as they prescribe. So there is something terribly wrong with this. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, public and housing, these, the kinds of monies that in economic development initiatives, just to give you an idea of what kind of programs are being handed, handled by the people here. Resident Opportunity Supporting Services, Public Housing Capital Fund. We're looking at $93 million in some change dealing with that. Contribution rates. I'm trying to go through here, and it's, again, you can get this. We'll make a link to some of these reports at carolcox.com, but just trying to strum through here on the my iPad here. But give me 1 minute here. I, when you read this, it's like a list of failures. And the concerns is how much time and money is invested in just getting and the legislators to authorize these programs. And yet they're operated and treated so loosely. Benefits provided when the disability members of the eligible or service-related disability benefits, regardless of length of service, and receive lifetime 35% of their average final compensation. These are the things that are looked at. Let's see here. Public housing retirement plans. The amount of money that is afforded to these people. And they don't have, in some instances we were reading, 75 days tardy in their reports, 80 days. So they are, some of the court cases, Hawaii Disability Rights Center versus the Authority Housing Determination complaint case. In 2016 complaint, Hawaii Disability Rights Center filed an administrative complaint with HUD against the authority, alleging the authority failed to have the appropriate percentage accessible units under HUD policies and regulations, specifically under 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. Pursuant to federal regulations, HUD is investigating the allegations. The authority has responded to the complaint and HUD's request for information and documents. So, when I see that, I get a little nervous because we've had an experience with HUD where we call them up and it's basically one person having the say, and he's not going to ruffle any feathers. He's going to make the Haula fire station, for example, was, monies were given to the city. A portion of that was taken and to build a fire station, and some argue it was inconsistent with the intended purpose of the original funding. We saw that other monies were misused and abused in the city office there. Contacted HUD, gave them all of the information. They swore they were going to go and raid the place and somewhat. And what happened was basically they went out and had a drink with nothing more than that to smooth things over. And the gentleman that was here working for HUD that oversees us that we complained about really didn't give a hoot, didn't give a damn. He said that he would be looking into it and aggressively investigating it, and later nothing happened. So the feds are complicit in this by just not, you know, if the city or the state failed to put anything in, you would think they would Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hi, Carol. It's Tina Quizon.
Oh,
I'm glad you keep on. I'm glad that you keep on chipping away at this. I know that work you did to reveal how much the ORI squandered. I think it was about $8 million you uncovered when you tried to reach out to Mark Chandler at HUD. It's just one of the things. You know, we had all the public housing that continued to be in disarray, and people like Colin Kiffin, the housing czar, that, you know, just really didn't do anything to make sure that the management of this money and the programs were operating correctly. So I'm glad that you keep on bringing this to the attention, because are you folks still, has the governor ever rescinded the emergency proclamation on homelessness?
I don't think he has.
And so, as you pointed, the problem, there's more and more homeless people every year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, where is E-Gage? You know, they're saying he's doing such a great job, but here you're revealing in all these accounting and all these reports that everything is just a sham, that the money is being given out, but it's not being managed. And the results, the outcomes aren't helping to keep more people off the street. It's just so unfortunate. You guys just had a report in the newspaper that now the price of, what, a two-bedroom house is $800,000?
Which suggests to me that if there is not proper inventory and proper or inadequate records submitted or on file to determine, used to determine who gets a house supporting or, you know, subsidized housing, anybody could move in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're telling me they don't even have to put in the person's name?
It's supposed to be a review, and if they're not matching names to documents, it's real concern, because then they're basically just giving the money to whoever they want and not really making sure that it's going to the people who are in need, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I don't have any proof, but when there are rules and specific procedures that you're supposed to follow, and those things are in place to ensure quality, ensure fairness, to guard against fraud, abuse of the system, either internally by government employees or the administrators of the program, just the mere stealing. I mean, if you're getting money and you're supposed to make a report on within 30 days of that project expenditure or whenever, and you don't file the report for 175 days later, and only because you were asked to, where's our records? Something's wrong with that, right?
Yeah, and then when you go to HUD, and in particular that time it was Mark Chandler, and he basically says that I think that was the CDBG block grant funding. He basically, if I remember your story, told you they were allowed to do whatever they want with that money. Was that correct?
Well, the first time it was, we're going to call out the Marines, and this is wrong, and it's not proper, and we're going to, you know, and I'm also telling him at the same time, under the city's community that hands out block grants and what have you, services division. Actually, I had a situation where a gentleman that worked there described to me in detail that his co-workers were actually shredding documents, and when an inspection came down to do inspections, they hid the documents under the desk and did not make them available for the Chandler's people or anyone else to review them. And even equipped with that, armed with that information, Chandler then rewarded the state or the city again for bad behavior. Didn't take it away. So, you know,
And then it's just so sad because, you know, then they have the so-called point-in-time homeless count. The numbers are going up. People are struggling. And it's just, I don't see how Ige can look out the window down at the Capitol and pretend like there's nothing wrong. He should be overseeing and aware that all these audits have all these negative indications that the money is being mismanaged. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand how this, it's been going on for quite a while, and it just seems like it's getting worse instead of better.
Yeah, I'm looking at these reports, and they're rather difficult to read because of the acronyms and back and forth, but it's enough, you can discern enough from this that says something is wrong. When I read that first line that talked about you're renting property to affordable homes and subsidized homes, and you don't know you don't even know the person's income. I mean, that takes some really. So here's some of the programs that. Why is this important? Because it's not just one program. Block grants for prevention of treatment of substance abuse. Block grants for prevention of treatment of substance abuse again here. Affordable Care Act, maternal, infant, and early childhood home visiting program, aging cluster, public health emergency preparedness, immunization cooperative agreements, maternal, infant, and early childhood home visiting cluster, state and local public health actions to prevent obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and smoke and strokes. Block grants for prevention of treatment of substance abuse again. So this is compliance with such requirements is necessary, in our opinion, for the department to comply with the requirements applicable to those programs. And I don't know. I don't know what it is that they have against the poor people, but this just drives home the point. Are we really? Can we look at the homeless population and then be driven by some mean-spirited conclusion that we draw from and not factoring in these things when maybe the housing, the way it's being run and the programs are being run, even while there's federal oversight and while there's use of federal monies and city monies and legislators awarding certain monies, and they don't do what's right. So here's an internal control of financial reporting. They're asking here, summary of our auditor's results. And this is speaking to those other projects that programs that I read off. Internal control over financial reporting, material weakness identified, yes. Significant deficiencies identified that are not considered to be internal weaknesses, yes. Non-compliance materials for financial statements, it received a no. Material weakness, internal control over major programs now. Material weakness identified, yes. Significant deficiencies identified, yes. Any audit findings disclosed that are required to be reported in accordance with Section 2 CFR 200.516, subsections A, yes. So this is rather frightening. And public health emergency preparedness, I read those off, and let's say here, give you an idea. In accordance with the government records, we know that there's a GSAB statement of number 34, finding that financial statements should be prepared during and using the current fiscal resources measurement focus to modify the accrual basis of accounting. Under this focus basis, revenues are recognized only, let me make that a little bigger here on the iPad, only to the extent that they are susceptible to accrual, and liabilities are required to be recorded only to the extent that their repayment will require the use of expendable, available financial resources. Conditions. During our audit, we propose and management accepted the following sub-audit adjustment. Restatement adjustment related to cigarette tax revenues for approximately $5.4 million. You see, they're even just, that can't even reflect accuracy. Restatement adjustment related to the deposit beverage container, deposit fund receivable for approximately $636,000. And we'll talk about container program in a bit. The adjustment above were recorded in beginning net position of July 1, 2016 in the department's financial statement as of June 23, 2017. Due to staffing constraints, the department annually contracts with its auditors to assist in compiling the department's financial statements. The errors noted above were detected during the audit because of unusual variances or patterns noted in the related financial statement balance. This is our money that we trust in them, and yet they don't have sufficient people to monitor it, to manage it. But you would think that would be critical, right? You want efficiency in the management.
Mm-hmm. There should be performance reviews. There should be things in place to prevent an audit from having so many negative points brought out in it. It just sounds like people are sitting behind a desk and getting a paycheck, but that the outcomes are just pushed to the side. And as I noted one time when I was actually filming a meeting of the continuum of care, and they're all in a fancy ballroom and Colin Kiffin and all the state and local housing organizations and programs talking about Candy Crush, playing games at a computer instead of talking about, you know, we've got too many people that are being affected, because it is all connected when you're talking about people's health. There's so many people that if they're not getting the treatment they need, whether, like you probably mentioned, the diabetes or whatnot, can't make it, can't get that income to keep a roof over their head. So it really all connects, and I just don't see how the governor can just continue to pretend that everything's okay on his watch.
But we don't want the listeners to think that it's just the governor. It's legislators, because when someone come to you and say, we have this program or have this need, you legislators, we plead with you to authorize and pass this bill that will let the floodgate of monies, you know, let us tap into certain financial resources of the state coffers. There is no follow-up. Now, I'm not suggesting that the legislators, every bill they approve, that they send someone to ride a shotgun to make sure that they do that. But this is, in any agency that you find, you're going to find the same thing. And so the tolerance here on the part of the state and the feds who oversee these things and should be looking for efficiency, they're wrong. For the cigarette tax revenue, this document says, adjustment SB 1297 requires that cigarette taxes revenues in excess of $7.4 million related to the trauma system special funds should be transferred by the Department of and become a realization of the general fund on June 30th of 2016 of each year. SB 1297 was passed in the 2015 legislative session, effective as of June 30, 2016. The department properly recorded in a journal voucher to comply with SB 1297. So all of the formalities are in place. They follow those things, but once the money is given, then that seems to be where the fraud or the ineptness or the inaccuracies of recording and reporting or the failure or the due diligence or diligently enforce or, you know, put this thing in place. So for the deposit beverage adjustment in an incorrect formula on a spreadsheet prepared by the previous auditors resulted in an over accrual of receivables related to the administrative fee portion of the beverage deposit. Now, what does this do? What does this do? We have Bicky Bikes, for example, that we see down there. $1 million, I'm told by the city, that came from Bicky Bikes, and also by the state. The state health department informed me as I made an inquiry. So, to do the bicycle program.
So they were awarded $1 million.
Well, yeah, and then they were awarded $1 million. As some of you may recall, I filed a complaint saying that Bruce Copa and Rick Eggert and Ray Soon and Formby, Mike Formby, had their hands in developing this Bicky Bikes, but they were representing that it was a private citizen who was doing it. But in reality, what really transpired is that Mike Formby did, in fact, get it and file articles of incorporation for Bicky Bikes or Bikes Hawaii, whatever the interchangeable names they were using. And so there's a very interesting setup there because they are on the record as the incorporators of that, and that is not necessary. There should have been an individual who had an interest who should have filed it. But instead, they use their position. So what's to prevent or what is there to address the fact that potentially that if this thing is a success and it starts to make money and profit, who knows the historical backdrop of this, or the background, to say that these gentlemen will not benefit personally from this if their names are the incorporators of the business? So basically, potentially, they could have used, if allowed, use this money for getting up and starting, and then they also use some waivers and what have you to site these stations around the city. Big question. So right now, as it stands on that very subject, I have a pending with the Ethics Commission because they basically say that this was a unique situation and warrants looking at it, the issue of city officials privatizing or incorporating something in their own personal names rather than in the name of the city itself, which possibly it can't be. And so this is, I can't think of the term that they use, but it takes notice of the first time that this has been brought to the attention. And so the Ethics Commission is actually reviewing it now. And if I get a chance, I'm going to pull up the document that the letter that the formal response to me informing me that they are going to look at this because it didn't go through any process or review. And no one knew it until I decided to go looking and scratching and seeing where did the money come from, because there were many stories put out, but they weren't consistent. So
you have, it sounds like, government workers spending time to create things that are going to benefit themselves when they actually have a role in government. They're being paid. And I think even like at the state, there was a concern. I think it was Senator Susan Chun Oakland had some things going on where she was working on, I think it was the Children's Day at the Capitol. But yet she wasn't doing, I think she was printing things and doing other things under a nonprofit. And I think that's where a lot of this gray area occurs also, is a lot of times they're there at their state offices, but they're doing things that actually benefit their group. It's mm-hmm. not for the people. And it's not even anything to do with what they're actually, the task they're supposed to be performing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. And then they all get together and they have big hoorahs and patting each other on the back. And we did such a good job spending the money. But then here's these reports you're revealing showing that these outcomes are really have a lot to say with the management of the funds. And was it the HUD fund that after you brought some of that out, they actually reduced the amount that the state gets from some of the HUD funding?
Something, but I take that with a grain of salt, because HUD will, they're just basically, you get a guy that's local here, has a federal job, he's not going to want to make any trouble because the boys and girls in power will pound his ass. And he'll be out looking for a new job. So you don't. Basically, the mob here, or the regime, as I like to call them, you can't have such federal rules and taking federal monies and signing the line that I will and I will not. And I know the law and I agree to this, and I'm bound by the conditions of this agreement and the fact that it's federal monies. And then they take off and give it to funnel the money to their friends for projects that are unrelated to city functions or state function. But in this thing here that I was talking about, I want to read on some more. Financial statements findings continued. Management is responsible for its financial statements, and it is an important reminder that auditors, even when assisting in the compilation of the financial statements, are not part of the management internal control. Appropriate review by management is required. So you would think you wouldn't have to admonish people and advise them of this when you know they know. But if it's in shambles and it's ragtag, you stand, it invites trouble and invites abuse. So effective reviews of financial statements increase the risk of material misstatements, as illustrated. I'm sorry, ineffective reviews by results of fiscal 2017 audit. Identification as a repeat finding if applicable, not applicable. Recommendation. Management should revisit its process in reviewing its financial statements. Now, how long have they been taking this money from the government? How long have they been managing these homeless projects and diabetes projects and health care projects? And they now have to be told these basic checks and balances. They don't want checks and balances. They want checks. For example, management should ensure that the review process include the consideration and investigation of material variances from prior years of material changes in the Department of Business environment, and that may impact the financial statements. So, vouchers payable in accordance with the government accounting standard board, GSAB, They say that Statement 34, fund financial statements should be prepared using the current financial resource measurement focus and the modified accrual basis of accounting. Why don't they take their money back? If they can't have these things in place as they agreed when they agreed to take these grants and what have you, why are they tolerating this? So during our audit, we proposed management accepted audit adjustment related to vouchers payable for under the accrual approximately $7.4 million. Management is responsible for reviewing reports and reimbursements and disbursements, open purchase orders, and identify the amounts that should be accrued as of June 30th, 2017. An initial vouchers payable detail listing was provided. During our audit testing, we noted numerous errors and expanded our testing. You know.
Oh, my goodness. That's bad when the auditors have to expand the testing, that they can't find a file that it's almost scary.
Yeah,
okay, so how is this occurring?
Well, we did note that this was the fiscal officer's first audit and with the department. She was supported by the Administrative Services Office's chief and the accountant for that both participated in previous financial statement audits. See? So they know. And management process and identifying vouchers payable accrual did not adequately capture the correct accrual balances. Based on our discussion with management, the accrued amounts were determined based on the invoice date rather than by the date of the service or goods received. So how do you turn around and say, as a governor, I assure you things are going very well. I have no problems, no doubt. I trust my people. They're good people. You know?
I would be worried about the statistics that they're putting out there. I really would, because it doesn't sound like they have an accurate grasp on how the progression of these contracts and grants and programs are, whether they're working or not.
Recommendations, they say, we recommend the Department of Health revisit their process to identify vouchers payable that should be accrued. Due to the diverse nature of the department's activities, it is important to work with the respective divisions and programs to obtain timely and accurate information. These are elementary steps and precautions that they are having to remind the state that they should have in place anyway. And deficiencies in reliance on third-party certification. Well, they had concerns about that, and the context, as noted below, this is recurring finding. The department still has not been able to recruit or retain the personnel needed to monitor the distributors and the certified redemption centers, as it relates to redemption facilities in cans and bottles. So whether it's housing, whether it's high blood pressure awareness training or seminars, diabetes, or whatever it is.
Infant care. Mm-hmm.
Infant care. I'm surprised that these agencies even bother to open their doors in the morning. Why? Because it's all guesswork, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because how do you know, number-wise, it sounds like they're just fudging it. That number sounds good. Let's add 10 and 20, so we get our 40.
Mm-hmm.
It just really speaks to a whole concern of, across the board, what is the taxpayer getting, you know, when the legislatures, like you said, are approving and passing out this money, the coffers, you got all these people lining up wanting this money, but then you don't have anybody saying, we did the right thing with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there'll be some to dismiss this effort that I'm putting forward here. But you don't understand when they say the bottle bill, we're going to increase it another 5 cent because it didn't cover, or we're going to increase it another 1 cent, or we're going to create a plastic bags, or we're going to create a paper bag bill that if you got a 15 cent or whatever, because, you know, in order, and also in order to administrate these rules and administer them, we're going to need to ask the legislators to grant us another penny. Or all the.
So it sounds like we're being penalized for their mismanagement. The
no, you're being pimped. You're being pimped. You go to work.
I didn't want to say it that way.
You go to work. And they sit there and go with these flawed policies and practices, and they take your money and assure you that it's going to be managed, and they just need another half cent. And they assure you that they're going to be on top of their game. And that their game is stealing from the people, basically, because the auditors come in and say, well, you know, how do you say you have 10 widgets when you only got one, and the person that has a responsibility of demonstrating the widgets, how they're used, has not used one before and has no expertise in it. And he's temporarily assigned on a 90-day, you know, these kinds of absurdities. But this is critical because many people scream that it is a taxing of the an independent taxing or a separate taxing of these bottle bills. But intended to save the earth and the planet and you know, and recycling and all, avoid raw materials being mined and refined. But in this financial statement finding, the deposit beverage container program receives beverage container deposits and container fees from distributors and refund deposits and pays handling fees to redemption centers based on certified information. Certified information now. The program relies on certification from distributors to support deposits and containers fees received. The program also relies on certification from redemption centers to support deposit refunds and handling fees paid. Cause, as noted below, in this recurring finding, the department still has not been able to recruit or retain the personnel needed to monitor the distributors and the certified redemption centers. What is the effect of this, they say? Over-reliance on the self-reporting by distributors and redemption centers may result in underpayments or deposits and on deposits and the related container fees received by the department of, to administer the program. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need your tax dollars to screw you out of your tax dollars. And we're going to, and we need your tax dollars to pay people that we don't know what the hell they're doing with it. We just say file a voucher and we'll reimburse you. And I'm serious. That sounds foul mouthed and disrespectful, but that's what it is.
It gives a whole new meaning to certifiable.
Yeah. So, again, I like to read the sentence. An overstated redemption rate could result in a misstatement in the department's financial statements, as well as higher container fees for consumers to support the program. You see, remember they wanted to go back, or they did go back. Well, can you give us a little more money? Because it, we, you know, when in fact it's flawed. And so
it, and it's scary, you know, think of all the hurricanes coming in and people are rushing out to stock up on water and, you know, you're paying at the cashier, you're paying that bottle fee.
Yeah, well, here's, and I use the term fraud and some people say that, well, boy, you have a way of describing things rather harshly. And they don't understand when it comes to using terms like that, I'm very careful. And I incorporate them in my vocabulary because in the auditor's report, this is what the auditor's report, they use the word fraud. The program could mitigate the risk of fraud, underpayments by distributors and overpayments to redemption centers. by implementing a systematic process for monitoring the activities and reports submitted by distributors in redemption centers. However, due to the insufficient staff position and turnover, management has been unable to establish a systematic monitoring process. Where does your tax dollars go? Isn't that funny?
Yep.
Now,
wow.
Again, that has in the minds of many out there, it has little or nothing to do with homelessness, the housing shortage and what the housing quote crises. But it has all to do because many of the homeless people rely on recycling bottles and cans and containers for subsidizing their existence. So it has a direct relationship. So on one hand, we're giving money to the housing authority and they're loosely operating it. And on the other hand, we're giving it to the state health department to pay out for recycling. And they don't know what their right hand from their left hand is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I'm going to be coming back and finishing up with this, but again, material non-compliance and material weaknesses in this block grants for prevention of treatment of substance abuse. This bothered me. I read some portion of this and it angered me because just the other day, a homeless man down in Sand Island passed away because of he's in his tent, or if you could call it a tent, and using an illicit drug and died. Now, why couldn't he be in receipt of a program? But monies are available. Well, I should say were available. God only knows if they can take $1 million to put bicycles out of the tobacco taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Then clearly they can take, mm-hmm. you know. So
even like the Gregory House, Carol, I think that was for people with HIV and AIDS. I believe their funding was cut. And so you have a lot of people that benefit from programs that aren't there anymore. And so you're right. Here they are alone in a tent, and the money that could have benefited or helped that person instead was squandered, and then you've got another death. And it's just so unfortunate.
Well, we're going to come back and talk about the block grants for prevention of treatment of substance abuse. And I don't want to bore many of you, but I think it's an injustice to look at people that are homeless and then impugn their stature as human beings or deny them that right or that title. They're still human beings, but I think the ownership has been displaced or misplaced. It's their fault when in fact it's the government's fault, and then the government has no one out there calling them on it. Most of the people out there, well, we'll work with your program. Just give us some money and they're happy and they get to fun and get to travel and do their things. But their reality is there are people out there that are suffering and dying and starving and hungry and ill from illnesses and cancers and all kinds of things, staffs and infections. And we look back on up at the big house. They're spending the money and can't even account for it and won't even hire. It's a shame that you won't even hire administrators or people that could do the job. So we're going to come back in about 5 minutes. Just hold your horses there. And this is the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Carol at carolcox.com, C-A-R-R-O-L-L at C-A-R-R-O-L-L-C-O-X.com. And you can also catch us on Olelo September 16th, Sunday at 1 o'clock, Channel 54. We have a show running now, cover up at DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to Talk 808, the Carol Cox Show right here in Mililani, Hawaii. Listen, We hope to make this available to several different groups out there, because having a voice is something that you don't miss until you realize you don't have a voice. And it's okay to, on occasion, to be able to get one or two of your issues in a year's time on TV or get some coverage. But how about being able to push a button, pick up the phone, turn on a knob, and then you can talk to unlimited people or listeners out there to share your topic with without having to appease or appeal to anyone? Well, that's what we're affording right here at Talk808.com. We put this together hoping that this is a community-minded effort, and that we talk about the little man having no voice, or the little man doesn't get informed. Well, I can tell you right now, this thing that we've set up at Talk 808 does just that. Cost is minimal, and if you are genuinely interested in getting your voice or your cause or your organization, you can even set up an hour show a week if you'd like to, and we will afford you that opportunity. But we just have some basic, can't be hatred, we can't talk, we don't promote politics, we don't advocate for parties, and we don't care who is, if you're wrong and disrespecting other human beings, we don't want to be dealing with you. We want nothing to do with you. We're just, I know that's not the way they say it on CNN and the other places. They're more eloquent, but hatred is hatred. We're not interested in peddling it. And so therefore, but we welcome, if you have some issue, some concern that you're not getting out there, give us a call and give me an email at carol@carolcox.com. So, some interesting thoughts back on the subject of subsidies and federal grants and state receiving federal grants to administer monies to help things such as material block grants to prevention of treatment of substance abuse, and many others, as we've talked about earlier. And so 2 CFR section, and I'm reading from an audit dated 2017. March 18th, 2018 was the last letter finalizing this report from KMH LLP on behalf of the state health department, or the state. Actually, it's the auditor, state auditor's office, hired these contractors to do this job. And that's interesting in itself. Why do we have to hire someone to do what we have auditors hired for? I don't know. Maybe it's a money-making project. 2 CFR 200.237 states that financial information must be collected with frequency. Back up here. Nice thing about computers, they're helpful, but you lose, you touch the wrong button and you got yourself a... Houston, we have a problem. That may... And in the interest of saving paper and trees, we try to read from the iPad, old iPad, trusted iPad here. Okay, we're back there. So, it goes on and states that the financial information must be collected with the frequency required by terms and conditions of the federal award, but no less frequently than annually, nor more frequently than quarterly, except in unusual circumstances. Under the reporting requirements of the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant, SABG, the program must submit a closing federal financial report within 90 days after the end of the obligation and expenditure period of the grant. Conditions reported. Reporting requirements for 1 FFR was not met. context, the SABG was required to submit one closing FFR during fiscal year 2017. During the audit, we noted that the FFR submitted was submitted 175 days after the end of the obligation and expenditure period of that grant. Cause, based on the further inquiry and department personnel, we noted the delay in submission was caused by changes in funding sources for certain personnel and the length of time to close out all provider contracts at the end of each year. A grant period. Failure to submit, this is what the effects are. Failure to submit reports results in incompliance or noncompliance with the reporting requirements. Question costs. Identification as a repeat finding. Recommendation. We recommend program management be more diligent in following the procedures and internal controls related to contract closeouts and the deobligation of funds in order to ensure compliance with federal requirements. And, okay, so rules are rules, federal requirements, you take our money, this is the conditions. We got all of that in it. But when people are, it's a human being involved, sandwiched in between this program, that's the whole intent of this program, by the way, is that you have some people that are have an addiction or has an inability to control their substance intake for whatever it is, whether it's illicit or prescribed medicine, whatever it is. You get this, you should arrive equipped with proper personnel training, people that have expertise in this, have known about this and have facilitated or participated in these programs to administer it accurately and efficiently. So, sub-recipient monitoring. All pass-through entities must monitor the activities of the sub-recipient as necessary to ensure that the sub-award is used for authorized purposes in compliance with federal statute, regulations, and in terms, conditions of the subaward, and that subaward performance goals are achieved. In addition, all pass-through entities must evaluate each recipient risk of noncompliance with federal statutes, regulations, and terms, and conditions of the award or subaward for purposes of determining the appropriate subrecipient monitoring. Conditions. The program did not comply with this documented monitoring procedures consistently. Also, from a control standpoint, the program does not have a formal documented risk assessment policy. In addition, through discussion with the program personnel, we noted that contracts are chosen for on-site visits on an ad hoc basis rather than based on a formal risk assessment policy. So, in other words, this ad hoc, hey, Bob, where are you going? Oh, I'm going here to a meeting. What you doing? Oh, I'm doing nothing. Come on in here right quick. We got to have a meeting. We got to have a forum, a quorum, and we're going to have a discussion on this. Come on in. How's things going over on the basketball court? Is everything going all right? And people can get an ad hoc lends itself to people getting involved and having no knowledge, expertise, or skills or anything, but they just need to get it done. And so, is this an invitation to fraud and abuse or diversion of monies, paying one for projects that they don't deliver, while meantime a person dies in a tent at Sand Island in the bushes? Because he couldn't get the proper care. So, context. Of a total of 51 contracts, we selected 5 contracts based on a non-statistical sample. We noted that Three of the five contracts were not monitored based on the program's documented procedures. The cause, there was a lack of diligence in following documented monitoring procedures. The effect of it, failure to have and follow a sub-recipient monitoring policy that meets the requirements of 2 CFR Section 200.331 results in noncompliance with the sub-recipient monitoring program requirements. So in other words, you are a friend of mine and you work for some charitable organization. I'll give you some money and then I'm required to have you. And we raised this issue and there were many of them. Some in Waianae and Nanakuli received as high as $349,000 under this program. And we exposed them, and it was Mufi Hanneman who was handing those special awards out. And it was a community payback for the basic, for having, quote, the landfill situated in their neighborhood. So, but when it came down to it, there were reports of benchmarks that need to be met, and they were not. There was no submittals, no nothing. We found out that monies was some $300,000 at least was being squandered and spent on things that had nothing to do with the goal, stated goal or intent, original intentions written by saying the claiming that they would be doing. We recommend that management establish a formal documented risk assessment policy in order to support the sub-recipients are chosen and how they are monitored. We also recommend the management follow its documented monitoring procedures. So we follow its documented monitoring procedures. They're already in place. So if you have a person, a chief that's passing, handing money out hand over fist to his friends, or the governor's friends, or the mayor's friends, or the friends of a friend, and then you know there's a policy, you know there's a protocol that checks and balances in place, and you throw those out of the window, and you ignore that, and because you got a HUD person here that's not going to do a damn thing. He's going to facilitate and simply relinquish all authority, and when there's abuse of monies, a failure to spend it appropriately, or just, you know, can't account for it, no wonder you see many people, the population of homelessness increasing. Because the so-called professionals and the government entities that are involved in this can't manage their monies or our monies. So, Affordable Care Act. Now, this is, many of you out there might love this one if you're as old as I am, ancient, I guess. BN, I guess, before needles when I was born. But criteria, it's 2 CFR, we know what that is. And under reporting requirements of maternal, infant, and early child home visiting cluster, the program must submit annual and closing federal financial reports by the deadline listed in the respective notices of award, unless revised deadlines are subsequently communicated to the program. Reporting requirements for the FFR were not met. Now, these are a program that is so crucial. They should operate like a fine oil machine. And that is, under the reporting requirements of the maternal, the infant, and the early childhood home visiting cluster, the program must submit annual and closing federal. Now, when it comes to children and animals, we need to all say we got to give an extra 10% above the 100% that we give when it comes to that. But this report reflects that they don't give a damn if what they just see the dollar. And Context. The deadlines vary based on budget periods. The FFRs were submitted between 45 and 50 days after the deadline for all four grant awards for which FFRs were due in 2017. The cause. The FFRs were not submitted by the deadline due to lack of diligence. Just don't give a darn. Effect. Failure to submit reports results in noncompliance with reporting requirements. We recommend the program management be more diligent in following the federal guidelines, the deadlines, in order to ensure compliance with federal requirements. Now, I might be wrong. I may be making a dust up for nothing because this repeats itself year in and year out, fiscal year in, fiscal year out. And this is not HUD now telling us in this report. This is a private hired audit firm that is auditing on behalf of the state. So, rather polite, but where's HUD in this? Where's the feds in this? I sound like a job for Donald Trump. You know, I don't know if we have swamps in paradise, but we do have sea snakes, and they see it and they snake their way up to the table and get the money and they give their friends and their nonprofit organizations. Monies. So the timing and amount of advance payments must be as close as is administratively feasible to the actual disbursement by the non-federal entity for direct deposit. Direct programs are project costs and a proportionate share of any allowable indirect costs. The non-federal entity must make timely payment to contractors in accordance with contract provisions. A systemic problem. During our testing of the department's cash management procedures, we could not verify whether the State of Hawaii Department of Accounting and General Services, DAGS, disbursed funds from federal sources as close as administratively feasible to the department's disbursement for the federal award program identified above after the department drew down the funds. So they're spending money and they don't know where they come from, where they got it from, but it's gone. Kapush, gone. Disappeared. In the meantime, the population of people that are homeless and the need for medical care and what have you becomes more problematic. The department draws down federal funds that it estimates will be needed based on vouchers processed daily. However, since deposits must be posted prior to the processing of payments or dispersing of the funds, it is difficult for the department to disperse federal funds in accordance with 2 CFR. And we could not verify compliance with 2 CFR. Folks, this is what goes on behind the scenes. So, you know, when we look at things from a different angle and we want to know, why is it that we see this increase and why is it that we see this inhumane treatment and mindset that is projected on the people that are homeless or the ill or the mentally ill or whomever or the people that are experiencing hardship with drugs? We have an agency party here. We have a system here that don't give a damn about humanity. They're not supposed to, but the programs that they run would afford humane treatment of the people or the recipients of these programs. It's inescapable. You take the money You set up the agency. You say that give us the money and we'll administer it, and then you don't even keep record. You don't know how much you've spent. You don't know who you spent it on. You don't know if you're renting to a person that is a foreign person or a person that is qualified or a person who has $1 million in the bank, because you don't even make them pay their show their documents to show their bank accounts. You don't do anything. So what is this system built on? What is it built on? So noncompliance with federal regulations could result in a loss of funding that may jeopardize the operation of the department's federally funded program. How about that, folks? A program that isn't working, and you know what? This audit, you're not going to see any earth-shaking actions taken on part of DAGS or the governor or any firing, or you're not going to see HUD come in or whatever agency, the Health and Human Services, come in and do anything. They're going to just acknowledge that it happened. They're going to write a letter. It's going to be a letter of, might be, hello, aloha, how are you? Please send some chocolate candies. Or we sent you some taffy, so I hope you appreciate our taffy, but could you send me some macadamia nuts? It's that absurd. This is what kind of relationship. So from top down, there's an explanation to be had why we see the conditions we see out there on the streets, why people are living in bushes, why people, the mentally ill and the drug addicted individuals, we know why they're there. Because the people that are supposed to be out there doing something are not even keeping proper records and accounting for the monies and spending money, and we don't know if they gave it to their friend or their foe, or their girlfriend, or whoever knows. So, but they draw down federal funds that it estimates will be needed. And this one CFDA total budget for those projects, let's see here, but for the, just for the fiscal year 17, the state local public health actions to prevent obesity, diabetes, and heart disease and stroke, okay? The amount of money directed to that product, those projects, are $39,006,949. $39 million. And they can't even account for a single record. Each contract that they have was expenditures. They're late and they're tardy, and then you can't, as it say, you can't tell who and where the money went. And how can you, I would think these rules are in place also to help you manage the programs, because you don't want to be running on fumes and committing projects and you don't have any money and you don't know the status of your payments or out payments or what have you. That is more problematic than anything. This is, again, CFR for diabetes and all was not submitted by the deadline due to lack of documented policies and procedures and insufficient understanding of requirements provided in the notice of awards and relevant federal regulations. Failure to submit reports resulted in noncompliance with reporting requirements. We recommended program management review its notice of award, review its notice of award documentation and relevant federal regulations, and develop formal policies and procedures to ensure compliance with federal requirements. So if you're able to get money from one government agency and no one's looking at you, and you know that you got to account for it, but there's something missing here. There's no policing of it by the granting agency or the granting authority. So you would think the if it's passed through, as it said in this report, there would be greater scrutiny in the development of policies. But that's common sense. We shouldn't have to wait for that. That should be already in place because it's taxpayers' dollars and we should account for it. So, failure to obtain reports may result. The most polite treatment of bank robbers that I've ever seen is watching government. You can take a gun and go into a bank and get $300 and you've got a most wanted poster of you. You go to jail. They may end up shooting you, whatever, as you took from a business. But if you steal from the people, you know what happens? Your punishment is you get a job and you get promoted and you get in a position where you can hire your friends. Strange setup. But don't steal a cup of cookies or be seen on video putting a Hostess Twinkie in your pants, down your pants, and walking out of the 7-Eleven. Next morning, your face is plastered on TV. Wanted. This man is wanted for a major crime. When will we see a sign that says, a commercial that says, this administrator is wanted for failure and massive abuse of his authority and failure to carry out his official duties that he collected a salary with? That's more than a Twinkie, at least in the cost. But that's the way it is, folks. Welcome to Hawaii. You know, we talk about how great it is and how beautiful it is and how melting of a pot it is. And I can smell that melting pot of soup already, man. It has a taint of fornication. Yeah, that's what it is, because it has no way. When you see the people down there craving just a helping hand, just to be treated with a little dignity. And then you know that they pull up in a four-wheel drive with mag rims and shiny sparkling car, wax truck and what have you, from Department of General Accounting, and they get out and they got their new sneakers on and the new shirt and the flying tag and blowing in the wind with the name tag, and I'm from the Department of Screw You. Yeah. That's what I feel like when I see these things. And that's what prompted me to go out and start reading the backside. We're all so critical of and quick to say, oh, those homeless people are taking over there. And can you see they can't sit on the sidewalk? The laws are there. When will Kirk Caldwell, under his authority, have someone arrested for abuse of authority and misuse of monies? Ain't got time for that. The very people that would benefit from those programs and the proper oversight and making sure that they adhere to the rules to make sure there's efficiency in the disbursement of these funds, he has no time to write a legislation for that or ask for prosecution. But if you are homeless and you look like you want to tired and you ain't got food in your belly and you sit down or slide down or fall down, you can get a ticket. And I hope all of you out there don't draw the conclusion that this is partisan. They're all screwed up. Whether you got an R before your name or a D before your name, an I before your name or a G before your name, you're all wanting some guidance from to do what's right, because somewhere you didn't get the memo that says all men are created equal, to include women today. And also we should treat every person with dignity. So when we steal from them and when we tolerate programs that sit there breathing life, pretending to care and disbursement of funds and fees, and we're looking at millions and millions and millions of dollars, and all that direct contact with I equate it to taking a stick and putting a piece of meat on it and feeding an alligator. You don't want anything to do with these human beings because they're homeless, because they couldn't deal with the drugs and became addicted, or they couldn't afford the houses, or they couldn't, they had a mental illness, or they had a hardship. One of the spouses died, causing a hardship. Maybe you've gotten sued, causing a hardship. And there we have this cushion, this life net that catches you, supposedly. And this program, this net, got holes in it, bigger than what you're trying to catch and capture. So it's painful to see it, and it's equally painful, as painful to read it. The department includes federal requirements, including a single audit requirement in its contracts with recipients. However, the single audit report are not being obtained by program management to ensure subrecipient compliance with the federal requirements. We obtain the reports for two largest recipients, noting that a single audit report was timely completed for the most recent fiscal year, 2017. These two subrecipients had combined expenditures of approximately $2.7 million, which is approximately 95% of subrecipients' expenditures. We did note finding in one of the two reports, but these are required to be tracked by fiscal 2018. Lack of documented policies and procedures contribute to single audit reports not being requested until we conducted our audit. How about that? That means, and that suggests to me, that they spent that money, they took that money and fudged the line and figured we'll just wait it out. No one will know, and I assure you, it's possible that these were friends. They were given these grants out, block grants out, on this community development program, like they were jelly beans, folks, to your friends. Anybody that was a friend of Mufi Hanneman, they come up with creative programs that they could justify and get the money and then turn around and not file in. And I have those documents in case any of you out there are thinking that I'm just wasting time or nothing to do. And this is a continuation. I work in streaks to make sure everything I do is connected to last year or the year before. I'm not just all over the place. And this is just one of many facets of it. People were receiving grants. They didn't even convene. One person would just put his name in there as a group and get the money and gone. And then you'd find in the files, once I start asking questions about the documents, you find in the files, we need a letter from you. If you don't give us a letter, we're going to cut your grant off or show us the expenditures. We're going to delete you. So it's really sad. And, you know, down to things like there's a little girl that was run over in the Kamehameha school, not schools, but housing, Cam 4 housing. Security guard ran over her. And then so you got all kinds of issues, lawsuits against the security guards for bullying and for beating and injury. And some were even suspected. And there's concerns with the way it's run. One gentleman in 2009 murdered a young lady there in those state housing. So if you're not being protected, why would you want to live in the state housing? Why wouldn't you want to just go out and try to find a safer place when you have security guards? I didn't make note of that incident, but they asked for a stay to 2018 September. So that case may be being heard here coming up soon. So this is a significant deficiency in the Affordable Care Act, maternal, infant, and we know what the rules are with the section under the level of effort or requirements of the cluster. The program was required to maintain non-federal funding for grant activities, at a level which is not less than expenditures for such activities as the program most recently completed fiscal year. Conditions. The program does not have a control in place to ensure that it obtains the required amount of non-federal funding to meet the level of effort required. The context of that was during our audit, we noted that management budgeted for the program to meet its levels of effort requirement. However, there were no controls in place to ensure that the final non-federal expenditures for the federal fiscal year met the minimum requirement. There is a lack of diligence in monitoring the level of non-federal funding against required amounts. Failure to identify deficient levels could result in disallowance. Once again, there's that warning. So this is something we really should take a look at. And but at least I hope that I impart on you some kind of basic knowledge that what you see really does not represent what is really going on. The balance, the scale is tipping, and it's most noticeable because I think when we see people that are homeless, we don't really think that they're bad people. We think that it's just bad thing happening to them, which is a good thing to be caring. But we don't have any reason to look back upstream and say that maybe why they are out here or the conditions are worsening is because the government agencies who proliferate this, we got to get rid of the homeless and we got to make new law and we got to do this and we're going to do a housing, affordable housing, blah, blah, blah. And yet money's given to them that costs them nothing. Is squandered and unaccounted for and misspent and misrepresented and timeliness, and they have people that are unskilled handling or managing these resources or these monies. So, yeah, it's more than deserving of more than just a glance. There is fraud in the city offices. There's fraud in the state offices. There's, you know, right down to the ambulance service. The state administers under the health department, administers and pay out some of the federal monies for the ambulance services. And if you call up there, you're going to get a BS runaround because the people that should receive you well and say, hey, you have a complaint, let us know. Impart that on us because we are here regulating and making sure that things are efficient and that things are accurate. And we want the best service that we can for the intended audience or people that are targets that this program is set up for. Instead, don't talk to Carol Cox or don't talk to the media. Who said this to the media? Why did you talk to Carol Cox? If he calls asking questions, you send him to this person. Sorry, Mr. Cox, I can't say anything to you. I hope you understand. But you might want to call. I was told to give you this number. So you call that number and nobody answers. And you call it again, no one answers. And then you call again. Oh, well, he moved. Well, when did you learn he moved? You gave me his number just the other day. I made a mistake. I had forgotten he left. Well, then you know what my question is. Where is the person, or being that you're the supervisor, tell me what the results are. Why is it this way? Well, I have to get back to you. That's fraudulent. This is, you know, some people call up to complain about their neighbors and a tree hanging over there. I don't get into that angle. I want to know why my fellow human beings and children and senior citizens and the mentally ill are walking the streets, sleeping on the sidewalks, sleeping in bushes, dying prematurely, you know, struggling with drug use, mental illnesses. And then you see, what, $36 million for that little project, really? And then you learn $36 million was squandered and can't be accounted for. And then you learn there were friends or sub-recipients. The term sub-recipients, you better bet, you might want to just say, keep a sharp eye out on them. When you see something say sub-recipient, think about somebody's political friend or political intentions or political strategy. Because why would the state give money to someone else that it could do the job itself or pay for a contractor? And then when you see that of a $2.7 million that was granted, 95% of that expenditure of that organization was out of the $2.7 million. I wonder how much of that went to the intended victims or the targets, the homeless. So I'm not defending the homeless. I'm just asking and sharing with you, maybe there's a solution here to our homeless issues. And maybe, just maybe, when you see, you might be able to tell the mayor and the city council they're full of caca, and I don't mean a caca, but that when they say we're going to build a tower with so many affordable homes, ask them, can that person later come back and say, I promise to build affordable homes. So what I'll do, can I buy a couple of lower rent condominiums over here? And then that will constitute lower rent affordable housing. And then later I can come back and say to you, you know what? I don't really want to have that either the condos as affordable units. What I'll do is, why don't I give you $6 million, and we call it even. Yeah. There are many projects, many developers have taken that route. One of them sits on the west side over there, big development. I'll do this, do that. Then I'll buy in Makakilo. And then later in Hawaii Kai, okay, we just pay the amount of money, the market value for that, and then we're done. And so that $2,500,000, whatever, goes into the coffers of the city, and next week it's gone. So we have to be careful. If we can't trust them with our money, now that we know this audit and that they're not making any, don't sound like they're shy about it either. So maybe we need an infusion of new thought, of some honesty in this war on, quote, homelessness. There is no war. This is a money-making scheme. And the danger of this is what happens is that the more you see it on TV and the more you see them beating down the homeless, that's an image that they then share with Uncle Sam, and Uncle Sam, you know, giving all this good money away with no accountability and no concerns with how it's expended. It's a racket. It really is. We get housing. Oh, these are going to be affordable containers and all. And okay, there's no beautification that go into these things. They put them up there at Sand Island. You go over the mountain, over the bridge, and right there is, I mean, that's not telling human beings that you should thrive and look forward to wake up tomorrow morning. That's just something that is used by the city and by the state to pacify the feds for the money that they get and squander. That's what it is. The one project there with the new housing as you come into on Nimitz there from the airport, you know, that property, I don't even know how stable it is or whatever it is. At one time paintball and one time construction site, storage, and who knows, and illegal dumping of contaminants and what have you. But what percentage of the population of homeless was successful and continue to get in there? And who's administering that? And are the people being required to show their social security numbers and show that they are viable renters? This document that we read says that many of the programs, they don't even check to see if the person, the names don't even shuck and jive with the tenant list. So, anyway, that's what we have going on with the homeless situation here. That is... Anyway, I was going to read you a little note that we had, but I got a little distracted here with another document. There's so much of this, but go to, just in case you want to read it yourself or see more, have an interest in, go to the Hawaii State Auditors, and right on the front page you can see that. And so, in closing here, this is on the Affordable Care Act again. You know, they talk about Obamacare and this and that care. And it's like, okay, you tell me how evil the Republicans are. Every time I turn the TV on, they don't want affordable care and all. And we Democrats, we do. And we are, how can you hold a straight face when you know you're squandering money, millions and millions and millions of dollars in your hand? And you won't even hire a competent person to make sure that project is efficient. But then you bitch and moan about Donald Trump and what he's doing. That's what thieves do. They point you to the other direction. Which way did they go, man? I'm looking for a guy who was wearing a bandit scarf and guns and a mask. Have you seen him? No. You should go over there and look that direction. Where is that? Well, that's the White House. He don't care about people. But in reality, this report tell you, if I was Donald Trump, I'd take this and say, I'm not never going to mention another word or debate with you folks about how you care about people. Just look at the documents here that says you don't even have the incentive. You don't even have the human worth in you to take a project and a program that is money given to you and you can't be efficient with it. And the integrity of it is questionable. And you boasting that I don't care about people, and you do. Now, I'm not advocating for Donald Trump, but I think it's time to call it what it is. When we see our brothers and sisters and fellow human beings living on the bridges, and increasingly getting worse. And you read projects like this, and I didn't hear a single document in the newspaper or anywhere saying that this is, but they'll show you all the homeless, the sad faces. So if you have connections with Mr. Donald Trump, send him this, and maybe he can use this as a prodding stick to tell the Democrats in this town, put up or shut up, because that's where we are here, folks. And if there's all the hanky-panky in the housing that's going on that I read where people can't qualify and don't know if they qualified or not, what if you took that population of people there that falls in that category of not being qualified, haven't qualified, add that population to the population on the streets now. And we may see that our homeless population would double overnight. And it should be considered that, because if they're not qualifying to meet and receive subsidized housing, then they would be on the streets. So the state is not pushing it because they don't really want you to know what the real crisis is and their failure to address it and their inability to be up and respectable and carry out the wishes of the people with their federal grants and their federal monies. I kind of like what's going on, but who's going to call anybody on it? If we get someone in the state capitol there, I know Hanabusa wouldn't have done much. It would have been the same. Ige is not going to do any more than he necessarily need to do. And the legislators not going to do any more because they're just completely lost. And lost for words because they're not focusing on serving the people and getting the work of the people done. They want to serve themselves. They go to the Capitol with good intentions. They go there to do well and do good for people, but they end up doing good for themselves. And I was going to talk about legislators and lobbyists. Take, for example, if you go to the state legislator, or go just Google Ethics Commission with lobbyists, and look at the variety of names that, and this is not illegal to lobby, but when you look at their background, who they are and who they were and what capacity they've served in the government. Bruce Copeland, for example, if I'm not mistaken, he was a Abercrombie's right-hand man in the scheme of things when Abercrombie was in office. Now, if you go there, the Ethics Commission list, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I counted 23 different companies that he represents. Some other people have 6 and 7, but if you want to go there, and so I mentioned that because we find ourselves in a time where private entities are doing public business. You see, our legislators, these guys not only go and lobby, many of them, they make donations. And you know, if you take my money, I want something from you. I at least want a bicycle, a tricycle or something, a go-kart or something. I'm not just going to give you money if I was a lobbyist, and I'm not going to go and spend my time representing some other cause or some other company, taking the busy time of my day and my life to go and do this for free. And when do these relationships develop? In office or out of office? So anyway, I had hoped to hear from Richard DeConte and see how he's doing. And then Don Sakamoto, you guys, if you're out there, listen in and give me a call. And I definitely want to set up something for the Sea Fodder so you guys can have a voice. And it's all available here. Give me a call, 782-6627, and we'll see what we can do. And don't forget to go to carolcox.com for all of our podcasts in the past, or go to carolcox.com and see some of the beautiful pictures that we occasionally take, 1 out of 1,000 maybe. But no, you can go to Olelo and watch our show at Channel 54 this Sunday, September 16th, every Sunday. And Thursday night on Channel 54, Bittersweet News. We'll talk to you next week. Aloha.